Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Smarter Equipment Finance Podcast. My name is Anthony Alvarez, and today I am sitting with
Alex Jackson.
And both of us are account managers here at Smarter Equipment Finance. And today on episode 5, we would like to discuss the power of leveraging when it comes to purchasing heavy machinery. The use of heavy machinery has a long history. In fact, going as far back to ancient Rome.
Yeah, it does have a long history. I was just reading that the pile driver was invented in the 1500s.
In fact, the use of heavy equipment goes all the way back to ancient Rome. And all the way back to, in fact, the first century.
Yeah, I was actually just reading that the pile driver was invented in the 1500s.
With that said, I think heavy equipment's been around for quite some time. I mean, there's some major stones that have been moved throughout the these different centuries. And if you look at some of these ancient cities that are still standing today, heavy equipment made that happen. Obviously, it was powered by man, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they had to go ahead and leverage.
They did.
Leverage their strength with machinery. But that's how they were able to get it done back in ancient Rome. Now, in current days, it's not the same. In fact, you could take a articulated dump. I don't even think we could go ahead and stack both of us and reach the height of a tire. Some of these things in say, the mining world or construction world, these machines are just massive, right? Along with that being massive, they also have a very, very, very large either burden, planning, or execution plan when it comes to purchasing these assets. And the reason is because of the cost. Cost is not the standard when it comes to these larger machineries.
Pretty expensive.
Right?
Yeah,
In fact, our standard deal of a semi-truck for about $80,000 is out the door when talking about this type of equipment. Although you're going to use the same principles to leverage your information for financing, we're talking about heavy machinery today, and because of the size of the cost, why you should plan appropriately.
And how to plan appropriately
as well. And how to plan appropriately.
Yeah. Why is heavy machinery a strong investment for the business, and what are some things to look out for?
So when planning to make a large purchase like this, you want to leverage your past to acquire your future. What I mean by that is your past credit history, your past financial history, as well as your past business performance. You take that information and you leverage it, correct?
Oh, yeah.
You leverage it against a loan for a piece of equipment. And the reason that you do that is you have to start planning for these purchases early, especially when we're talking about assets for $500,000 to $1 million to $2.8 million, right? And the reason that you want to plan for these, because these capital investments are what? They're huge.
Very big, yeah.
So it's not like you could take $1 million asset and just automatically find a way to pay for it just on paper without the performance of jobs being lined up, right?
Correct, yeah.
So number one, we have to establish the need.
Yeah,
Is there a need for this equipment?
Exactly. Expecting a lender just to lend out that kind of money for such an expensive piece of equipment is very unlikely. So we got to prepare for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that we're going to look at while, say, what are some things that we can take a look at with a client to prepare?
Well, some, obviously, bank statements is going to be the biggest thing.
Why though? Why are bank statements so key?
Well, bank statements are very important because they want to see that you have some capital, some skin in the game. Also, they want to see what kind of money you're already generating month to month. So We want to see good deposits. We want to see good ending balances. We want to see a good just flow of a very average structure of money kind of flowing in.
So you said something that was really, really key to me. So balances.
Yeah.
Why are balances so important?
Well, it just shows how your business operates. And when you say balances, are we talking like ending balances or just
ending
in general?
Balances.
Ending balances. So ending balances is important because it's typically at the end of the month is usually, depending on what industry you're in, most of your money is coming out, right? Paying your employees, getting paid for your jobs. I understand sometimes things roll over in the next month, but it's a really good indicator on where you're going to sit at as far as net profit at the end of a month.
You know, it's funny. I think of a story. We work with a dealer out in North Carolina who had a client back in December that we had helped. But when I had asked the client's wife, how long have you been preparing for this purchase? And the client had told me they had been in preparation for this for well over 6 months.
Oh, wow.
The drill itself was a $1.2 million drill, $1.1 million drill. And they wanted to cap reduce that purchase by $300,000. So what they were doing is they came in with excellent credit, by the way. Credit, and when we speak credit, we're talking personal credit as well as business credit. So for those that are unfamiliar, where business credit could be, say, found, you have Paydex, you have Dun & Bradstreet, you have what we use in our industry, PayNet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's critical. If your PayNet, if your commercial credit is not in order and you were going for a capital purchase upwards the amount of $350,000, $500,000, $700,000, those balances are going to come into play, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When it gets more expensive, most lenders are always going to request bank statements. You're asking for a lot of money, regardless if you have 800 credit.
So if I'm going to a bank because I need money, why do I need money in my account?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, the whole point of financing is to save yourself some capital. I mean, the way that I look at it and how I explain to all my clients as well is equipment. You want to kind of treat it like an employee. You know, you want to pay it as it pays you. You don't hire somebody and just give them their full years of salary. They haven't worked yet. We don't even know if they're going to work out.
Yep.
So we want to make sure that we're investing into something. Also, we can talk about commercial credit. We can talk about the tax advantages of Section 179, exercising that. And again, it's for your business. So why would you ever want to remove all your capital? You want to save that money for investing into new employees, other equipment, maybe new location, whatever the case might be. You always want to invest that anywhere else you can. The less money you can put out, the more you're going to make.
Another good point, because as you're preparing to, say, leverage your information for a loan, there's some things that we have to go ahead and do on our end as clients or business owners. We've touched on the bank statement, so it's important to show steady cash coming in, good, healthy balances. I know in some cases we've recommended anywhere from 20 to 30% of the value of what it is that you want to purchase to be in the account. So that way you are leveraging your balance, in a sense, to say, hey, I have 30% of the value of this asset. By putting 10% down, I'm still left with the remaining 20% of the value of the equipment. So if we want to use simple math, on a $100,000 piece of equipment, ideally, we would want to see $30,000 in the bank.
Correct, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always good to be safe. I mean, especially when it comes to startups, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I would say 20 to 30% of whatever you're asking is very safe. Because they could come back with a down payment. They may not. But if they do, and you want to get approved, you're going to want to have 30% of the bank. Again, you kind of mentioned it's for the down payment, but they also don't want to take all your money. They want to make sure that you have money left over for anything else, whether it's payments, insurance.
I love what you just said, because operational costs after the purchase, the lender wants to make sure that you can continue without any what?
Issues, not paying, defaulting, maybe thinking this was a bad decision. Yeah, no, we want to make sure that we're here to set everybody up for success. We're here not to put businesses under, but to help them expand and provide other jobs for this economy as well.
Now, as you're preparing to leverage your business and your credit and your banking to come in for a loan, would it be wise for someone to take a look at their own personal credit? And the reason that I bring this up, how many times have we pulled credit and there's like a $554 medical bill?
Absolutely. It's very important to know where you stand. I mean, sometimes, sure, as you've experienced as well as I have, there's been clients like, yeah, I've got, you know, 700 credit, and which granted, you know, their credit may not be too off, but they may have a collection or they may have a past due that they're unaware of.
Yep.
And they're like, what the heck? I thought I paid that. I can't tell you how many times I've had that. They'll go back, they'll get a letter, we'll get it situated. And maybe in a month or so when it falls off, we can move forward with the process. But a lot of times it's very good to prepare, whether it's just like an Experian app, just figure out where your score is, figure out what your credit lines are looking like, if you have inquiries or if you have any collections that need to be paid and taken care of.
I almost imagine what you just said, like somebody's riding a 10 speed down a hill going 30 miles an hour on this 10 speed, but that tiny little pebble in the road can throw everything off.
It's funny because I recently was in a situation where both the dealer and the customer were frustrated because the lender wasn't willing to approve them when they had really good credit. They had a lot of money in the bank, but they had a few past due accounts that they just didn't pay. And the problem with that is it shows negligence, a lack of responsibility. You know, and I get it. Business owners are busy, but they also need to be on top of their stuff.
No, that's so, a very, very good point.
Yeah.
So as they're preparing to, say, leverage all this information to acquire this loan for this heavy equipment, we've touched on, number one, taking a look at your credit, making sure that your own personal matters and affairs are in order and that you're aware of what's on your credit. Your commercial credit, what I've recommended to clients is log in to PayNet.
Yeah.
See what lenders are saying about you. And the reason I think it's so important is I've run across business owners that had a misconception that they had a 10-day grace period on a commercial loan.
Oh, yeah, that's a big misconception with commercial. Yeah.
It's a big misconception because where do we find the information showing that that was incorrect?
That would be PayNet. So we'll be able to see if they've been late now, kind of going back a little bit to what you were talking about. A lot of people are used to, you know, credit cards, auto loans, home mortgages, whatever the case might be. Yep. If you're late, you've got a good grace period with commercial financing. It's or commercial loans, I should say, one day.
It begins day one.
30 days.
Begins day one. It's so, 1 through 30.
Yeah.
And so for those of you that are kind of learning this and on what we're talking about, personal credit, your lates are gauged after a 30-day period. Mm-hmm. In the commercial world, your lates are gauged beginning the first day that payment is late. There are no grace periods. Yeah. You have to be on top of these things. I recommend that all clients put all of their payments on automatic debit.
Absolutely.
Keep them that way. Absolutely. Especially if you're a guy or a gal who didn't have that done and you have some uh-ohs or oopsies on your commercial credit, it's best to get those trade lines all on automatic payment, run current for a minimum of, say, 2 to 3 months, showing a positive trend in payment history. Yeah. That way, because a lot of our lenders are story-based, we may be able to prove that the person had a misunderstanding or a misconception about credit, and the payments were just being sent 2 to 3 days late. We might be able to help clarify that for a lender, but without the effort of straightening out the payments before you leverage your business for a loan, it could end up being a big waste of time if you're not prepared.
It can be. And honestly, I actually want to share a story with you because this even caught me really dumbfounded. I had this gentleman, he had been operating a business for like 25 years, literally on the Secretary of State, 25 years in California. They generate a ton of revenue. I mean, like $1 million a month. And the issue was their payment, horrible. That I don't know who was handling the accounting or who was handling the payments, late on everything, just tons of lates, to put it, say the least. All I was asking for was a $30,000 vehicle. I couldn't get it approved anywhere. So just to kind of really like emphasize on how important those payments really are, doesn't matter how good your personal credit is, if they pull a payment and they see your commercial payments are horrible, they don't want even to touch it. They don't want to deal with it. So yeah, it's very important.
It just jogged my memory. I had a transaction last month. I have two A paper owners. And I mean A paper, beautiful credit. The commercial credit, on the other hand, there was a misconception by the ownership there where they thought that commercial credit is going to report late after 30 days. Ooh. So with payments being due on a vehicle roughly around the 15th to the 20th, they were making the payments on the 25th of every month. So on a brand new trade line of 11 months, brand new.
Late every month.
They've been late 10 of those 11 months. And just to hear the client's voice and the frustration, like they've worked their whole life, Alex, to acquire that credit.
Yeah.
And then they've been in business since 2016, not knowing how credit is reported commercially. And just like your client, their personal credit and their commercial credit are giving two different perceptions to a lender. Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, we were able to help the client on two of the three items that he was looking for. But I had to go back to the client and stress to the client, it's time to go ahead and start preparing to leverage yourself better in the future. So with that being said, what is it that we need when we want to come to the table? What are some things that we are going to ask for when applying?
So when we first start applying, what we're going to need, depending on what the equipment is and how much it is, it's always a good idea. First off, we're going to need to do a soft pull, a credit. So we're going to need social, obviously, a little basic personal information.
Can I ask you, what's a soft pull?
So a soft pull is exactly what it sounds like. It's just not a hard inquiry. So what we do is we evaluate the credit. We evaluate the person first, right? We're not going to do a hard pull on you if we don't even know if we can help you. That's just a waste of time, and we don't want to hurt your credit. So we do a soft pull, evaluate the credit, see what's on there, confirm the time and business. Whether it's through the Secretary of State or if you're a sole proprietor, then we'll ask for the furthest back tax returns that we can get that you can provide for us. Mm. Time and business, credit, then bank statements, especially if it's a bigger piece of equipment, a bigger ticket price. We're going to definitely want to see some money in the bank. If it's not, then maybe not. Maybe credit app, signed credit app we'll need, driver's license, and just a few questions, stories. Very simple. I think there's also a misconception on like acquiring financing as well. It's not as disheartening or difficult like people think. It's very simple. And I think that we do a very good job of making everybody feel that way as well.
An app process with a soft check, not affecting credit. Very it's important very, because very we want to keep credit. We want to keep credit right where we found it. Mm-hmm. On top of that, maybe some bank statements, a story, yep. things of this nature. So these are some things that you can start to do or prepare for when you're getting ready to make the move to leverage your business and looking for financing.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask this a little bit different. I know that there's different variations of lending, such as an FMV lease or leases or loans or collateralized loans. But what are some other ideas that you have on what's available to people when they want to come and ask for a loan? What kind of products are they going to run into?
Well, they're going to run into, there's a lot of them. There really is a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, dollar buyouts, balloon payments, all that fun stuff. We primarily focus on EFAs, equipment finance agreements. And these are great because they bridge the gap between a lease and a loan, getting a fixed payment. You're also getting the tax advantages of being able to write it off as well through like Section 179, for example. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of these lenders offer early buyouts. What's going to report to your commercial credit. This is also a big one for me is say you're getting a loan or a vehicle for $50,000. Say they have finance charges are $20,000 for $70,000. What actually is going to get reported onto your pay net is going to be the $70,000 regardless if you pay it off early. So say you paid off in the first year and you end up only paying $55,000, you're going to get credit for the full $70,000. For me, that's huge because that's going to help any business in the future on additional financing. Just huge.
So again, I circle back to what we're talking about with commercial credit. Mm-hmm. And what you just brought up, as far as that payment history, you want to make sure that you're not going to the well for the very first time on a $1 million loan when you have zero comparable credit.
Yeah.
Comparable credit is when you are when you're preparing yourself to say leverage your history for an asset that you need to borrow money for. It's critical that lenders see what you've done in your past on those items. So if I'm a cash buyer, should I just keep buying cash if I'm going to eventually need the finance? Or what is it? What should I do as a business owner?
Well, you definitely want to acquire some sort of financing.
Even if it's small, huh?
Even if it's small, whether it's a small auto loan or maybe even credit cards. But I mean, credit cards are only going to go so far. You really need to get some like financing on some secured installment loans. whether it's a piece of equipment, a vehicle, something, even as far as just getting that on your personal credit will help. I mean, obviously the idea here is to separate the business and the personal life. That's the whole point of the establishing a business, yep, putting everything on that and building commercial credit. But you want to have something comparable. That's very important in the loan industry for financing.
So it's, I think what we've come down to is if we had some highlights on preparation of leveraging yourself, your business, your history, we want to talk about getting your bank statements prepared, right?
Yeah.
Wanting to make sure that all of your financial information is solid. If you're going for large assets, you got to start getting your taxes ready. You got to start getting P&Ls ready. Mm-hmm. You have to start getting balance sheets ready. You may even have to start going ahead and working on a personal financial statement to get prepared for these things.
Oh, yeah.
But your history, your past is what you're basically leveraging for your future.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, throughout this entire discussion, it seems as though we keep falling on what someone has done versus on what they can do.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, banks don't sit there and say, well, we're going to leverage the fact that you can make $1 million with this piece of equipment in hopes that you pay. No.
No.
What they'll say is, you have over $1 million in commercial loans that are very well paid. We feel comfortable extending you this credit because of your past.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Same thing with bank statements.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
And something I kind of want to touch on too, just to give some clarity, because some people may not really know what comparable debt is and what that means. And so what banks and lenders look for is if you're asking for a $100,000 piece of equipment, they like to see that you have a secured installment loan. This would be comparable debt of $50,000, 50% of the ask
amount. So 50% of the ask amount.
Yeah. And they want to see at least 12 months of perfect payments on it. Some lenders even go as far as 24, but a majority are 12. So if you, yeah.
I like, okay, so this is another good point. If I have a three-year plan as a business owner to grow, these are some of the things that I need to start thinking of, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I take down a smaller asset, maybe a dump truck for about $50,000, knowing I need to eventually get to a borrowing power of $300,000.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be reasonable to say, in year one, I want to take down something for about 50. In year two, maybe I snuck in there at about 125,
yeah,
100, 150.
Yep.
And then in year three, because of the trade lines reporting for over 12 months, and now I have two comparable purchases, I'm leveraging my past to secure my future.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? One thing that I also want to kind of talk about too is the credit score. So, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because a lot of people will reach out to us and be like, oh man, I got a 750 credit score. I'm like, beautiful. Let me take a look at it. Take a look at it, and there's only three trade lines. So the issue is a lot of people get the misconception that credit score is everything. Credit score is something, but it's more of the story behind the score that's giving us that score.
Wow. Wow. That, and I mean, you just, you probably capped on one of the, you probably touched on one of the main frustrations I had in my first year in this industry. I would get some people that would call in, I have a 728. Absolutely, he does. But he has one credit card from Kohl's, a gas card. And again, it's just some people just don't like to utilize credit. So
they, I get it. Yeah.
So when they do secure credit, they're very confident in the number because they think it's the score that's getting them what they want when it's truly the history.
History of the score.
Yeah, the history of the score. History good. The score. That's really intriguing.
Yeah, so it's very important because especially if there's anybody that is like thinking about starting, or maybe they're already in the process of starting, it's good to even sometimes just reach out to us if they have a few questions on how we can kind of prepare them for the future. I do that all the time with clients. If I can help them, what I can do. So, you know, you want trade lines, minimum 5 to 7, want to build up the score. If you can get comparable debt, secured installment loans, auto loans are most common for that.
How long do those need to run for lenders?
For the auto loans, 12 months.
12 months.
12 minimum. To 24. So even when you're like first getting a commercial loan, it's always a good idea to plan on paying it off early, which I recommend everybody to do. But you want to at least make payments 12 to 24 months to build that credibility for the future.
So if I know I'm going to need to, say, leverage my business and my history for an asset 6 months from now, and I'm currently in a loan for 7 months, and that loan is 50% of the ask that I need in the next 6 months, should I keep this loan for at least 12 months, or should I pay it off at 7 months so that lenders say, wow, he borrowed money and he paid back fast.
No, you want to at least be paying under a minimum of 12 months so you can establish that comparable credit so that banks and the lenders can see that and feel comfortable and confident doing that. If you pay it off too early, it's just not long enough for them to feel comfortable giving a loan for 5 years. I mean, if you're paying it off in 7 months, they can't really tell how great your payment history is and how responsible you are on the payments. I had a gentleman reach out to me, and I mean, this guy had immaculate credit, time in business. I mean, we're talking 25 years, makes a lot of money. Bank statements were also outstanding. So when it comes to something like that, we are, especially from someone like Ditch Witch, which I've established a pretty good relationship with them, but we are going to kind of get into the territory of manufacturer, you know, rates and approvals and things of that nature. So you've really got to be careful in what we, like, kind of the way we execute it. And so this gentleman, I ended up getting an amazing approval. I mean, we're talking, he had a 5.6% simple rate. I mean, you don't get better than that. And he absolutely loved it. But more importantly, he loved how upfront and real I was, how transparent. There was no BS, no, you know, beating around the bush. He understood everything, what it was, what it entailed. And he was very happy with the whole transaction in general. So I do think, though, sometimes clients may be able to get slightly better approvals or rates, if you will. It's more on the person you're working with and how comfortable and confident they feel with you and just building a relationship.
I mean, I too had one recently, and it came from an RPO.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah,
oh,
okay. A rental purchase option. And this is a great example of leveraging, you know, your business for the future, if you will, and preparing to leverage even more to acquire more in the future. I couldn't help a gentleman that I had met through one of my drill manufacturers 2 years ago. He popped back up and had been working with one of the vendors that I have been calling on for a couple of years. And the client was in an RPO. The RPO was $377,000. He was paying $14,000 a month for 14 months. On the RPO structure, he had approximately $10,000 in change going towards his purchase in the future. This is the art of leveraging. And the reason he mastered that, although it wasn't a finance situation in his case to begin with, it was to seek finance in the future, which is the way we began this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to prepare. So in this case, this gentleman turned around and he rented this drill rig for $14,000 a month. He got to the 14th month. I took him into a lender, 72 months, single digit, you know, a deal, early payoff option. He got all the bells and whistles, similar to your
client. Very similar, absolutely.
And the reason I wanted to bring up this story is you said something when you were talking, manufacturer financing.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes, as great as you are, manufacturer financing may decline.
Yeah.
Their tiers may be structured differently, or maybe they're just looking to only finance at this, say, level, if there are levels, if you will. And the reason that I bring this up is he could not believe the deal he got through me. And I know your client couldn't believe it because your rep called you back on how great of a deal it was.
Yeah.
And I think these are two great examples of how customers have prepped to leverage themselves to continuously grow. In other words, they have protected the hive. No matter what, their banks are in order, their credit is in order, their commercial credit is in order, their story makes sense.
Yeah, it may not be true for everybody, but from my experiences with manufacturers, most of the time they don't even report to commercial credit. So that's kind of a conversation I have as well. I mean, if it comes up. But commercial credit is very important. And to my understanding, most manufacturers don't usually typically report to commercial credit. So,
you know, I've run across something similar, and I've always said to people, when you finance through me, you realize it's not just about the money or the equipment. It's about the credibility.
Yeah.
You're trading, you are leveraging your past history for credibility. Mm-hmm. That credibility now affords you even more growth. So if you want to grow as an owner, what we are saying is you have to be cognizant of your personal credit, your commercial credit. Your planning has to be in line with what is reporting. And when you are getting ready to go to the well and ask for a loan, it's imperative that you are prepared. We run across cases time and time again where people come in slightly ill-prepared. And listen, we could still help.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but then sometimes the terms don't actually meet the expectations. Mm-hmm. And we pride ourselves on the satisfaction rating of our clientele. In fact, we live on it. I mean, think about it. Like, our reviews to us are just like a paycheck, it seems, because the excitement or recognition that someone acknowledges the time that you put in to educate them on business credit to help them leverage themselves further in the future to acquire the assets that they need. I feel like I make friends more than I make clients.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit on what you were saying, which I agree a ton with, is, you know, come prepared. Best. But if you don't, we'll help you. We'll help guide you in that direction. We're your advocate.
What kind of pitfalls are involved in preparing for this? And how could they circumvent those pitfalls? And I think now that I'm saying this, I guess I've actually answered the question, because in a sense, it would be a blind eye to your credit.
Yeah.
That's a pitfall,
not
right?
Not preparing. Pretty much. Yeah.
Not evaluating what you're going to make.
Yeah.
There are some times when you go to a lender, if you are unaware of what that asset is going to generate for your business, as good as you sound, there's some lenders that'll pull back and they will not finance you.
Yeah.
Because the story doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Not everything is adding up. I mean, as far as pitfalls, that's pretty much what it blows down to, is maybe just not being educated on it. And that's completely fine. I wouldn't expect almost any business owner to really understand the financing world and what they need. But they should reach out to somebody, even us, Smarter Equipment Finance. We'll be more than happy to guide in the direction. We're not here just to, you know, finance that moment. We're there to help prepare them for financing in the future.
I think a lot of the pitfalls can be avoided with the type of relationship that you offer people.
Mm-hmm.
Not every transaction, I want to be clear, not every transaction is going to be completed within a day or two.
No,
not every transaction will be done within 5 to 10 days. And in some cases, we need to help a customer examine their leverage power at the time. We need to help them examine what their credit looks like, what's reporting on their commercial side. So having an advocate like Alex can be the determining factor of whether or not you're able to leverage your history to acquire a finance loan.
Yeah, and there's even situations where I'll be in where I'm like, yeah, I can help you. I was like, but can I be honest with you for a second? If I was in your situation and with the knowledge that I have, I would wait. I would wait a month, and what I would do is I would get your credit availability up a little bit more. You're sitting about 35%. Let's try and get it to like 67, pay some credit cards off. Maybe pay a few more auto loans to get the credit up a little bit. You know, again, we can help you, but I want to try and secure the best approval possible, because sometimes what you want to focus on is the future, not the present. And I think a lot of people get held up on that, is what you want to focus on. These loans are going to go for 4 or 5 years. If we can get you a better approval in a couple months, it'll be more worthwhile. However, just depends, because if the equipment's really that vital in that moment in time and it's going to generate you $30,000 to $50,000 because you got a contract lined up that you just can't wait another week for, oh, then yeah, I mean, of course, we could probably get you into something, but it's always, you want to like weigh out all options.
Two last points I'd like to make. One of them regarding the importance of leveraging history when you're a startup. When you're a startup, you and I both know, and when I started, I was here a little before you. And when I started, it was a little easier to get a startup done. And then we had this little weird thing take place called COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Everything went out of whack.
Yeah.
And for a startup business owner, things became, since COVID, 4 times harder than it ever was before. But it's also based on, you know, scrutinizing the history of the performance of startups, right?
Yeah.
So the importance of preparing to leverage your history for a loan or to purchase a major asset, proper planning, credit, all of these things have to be accounted for. But how much are you going to make with that? Do you have contracts lined up? And if you are a startup, do you have everything it takes? What I would suggest is if you are a startup and you are looking to acquire any form of commercial lending, I would give Alex Jackson a call. Alex has been here now for well over a year, and I have to say he has won the ear of many different vendors and clients based on his dedication. Again, my name is Anthony Alvarez with Smarter Equipment Finance with Alex Jackson, and I just want to thank you all for listening, learning, and participating. And Alex, would you like to close with anything?
You know what? If you would like to, you can always go to our website and you can apply as well, and one of us will reach out to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for participating, and we look forward to being a source of information for you in the future.